Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Like last week, we're going to look at several different verses this week. So we'll look at some verses in Timothy and Acts and Mark and Galatians and 1 Peter. So if you just want to look on, they're on your outline. Or as we get to them, you can turn there in your Bible. So last week we started off by talking in the new year, by talking about our win. And we said we call it a win versus a purpose or a vision or a mission statement because philosophically it's hard to define when you've actually done a mission or a vision or a purpose statement. And practically, because none of us want to lose. And we all want to win. And when we get together as believers in Christ, sometimes we kind of have the thought or just the implicit understanding that we're automatically going to win. And in some sense, we do, right? If you've read to the end of the Bible, you realize that those who are in Christ win. Because Christ wins. And He always has won, right? So there is a sense in that, but when we collectively come together as believers, we need to make sure that we're all on the same page. And so that's kind of what we're doing today, or what we're going to continue to do this way that we started last week. So last week we talked about our win, which is moving ourselves and others toward Christ, and we kind of broke down that situation. But I left us with a question last week, kind of toward the end of our time, where I asked the question, how do we do that? Or another way to say that may be, what is it going to take for us to win? What is it going to take for us to move ourselves and others toward Christ? And so that's what we want to talk about today. It's kind of like, I want you to think about today's topic or today's lesson, sermon, however you want to look at it. I want you to think about it as a game plan, right? For those of you who don't know, there's a big game coming up tomorrow night. A really big game. Some of us in this room have prayed that their team might win, finally, for once, over the great enemy to our west. Right? Some of you in this room are probably praying that the enemy might win because you pull for another team who will remain unnamed. Right? But regardless, each team by now has put in a game plan. And a game plan is how we're going to do or what we're going to do in order that we might win the game. I remember when I was in high school, we had, during football season, all of us football players in sixth period, we had six periods back then. Every high school football player had varsity athletics, or they called it something, you know, advanced body sculpting 2 or something like that. But it was basically all of the football players would come into the locker room, different parts of the locker room. We would watch film on Tuesdays. On Mondays, our coach would take that hour that we had, 50 minutes to an hour that we had, and he would go over the game plan for the week. He had a little printout, handwritten, like hand-drawn circles and all that. He wasn't a big computer. It was, you know, from the old school. He wrote everything in. And so he would write down, hey, here's the formations they line up in. I mean, he was meticulous. Here's every one we've watched, and here's every formation. Out of this formation, here's what plays they're going to run. If they're in this one, they're only going to run these 3 plays. If they're in this one, they've got these 8 plays. And then he would tell us, here's what we're going to do when they do this. And then after the bell would ring and school would be over, we'd put all our pads on and we'd go out and we'd work on what we had just learned. And that was installing the game plan. He was telling us what we were going to do and how we were going to do it in order that we might win the game, right? Well, today, that's what we want to do. We're going to lay out the game plan for how and what it's going to take for us to win the game. Now, we call our game plan, we don't call it a game plan, we call it core values, and we have five of them. Five of them, I promise. There will be no 55-minute sermons, if you saw my Facebook post for this week, so that Alyssa may not give us the evil eye when we get back. But we do have five things that we need to cover this morning. Here are our five core values. I'll just give them to you, then we'll talk about them. Bible study and prayer, that's one. Small groups, serving, giving, and engaging people. So let's hit the ground running. Bible study and prayer. I want to make a, it may sound like a bold statement. I don't really think it's a bold statement because it's kind of backed up by Scripture. But if you are not, listen to me, if you are not consistently reading your Bible, you will, and I rarely use the word never and always, you will never get to the place you could be in your relationship with the Lord, and you will never grow as close to the Lord as you could. You will never move, to use the language of our one, you will never move as far as you could, and you will never bring as many people along with you if you do not consistently read your Bible. And look at me. In today's world, with technology the way that it is, you and I have no excuse. Right? Because you can take your phone. I'm going to tell you how I read the Bible a lot today. Tomorrow morning. Well, not tomorrow morning because I've got a doctor's appointment. But on Tuesday morning when I get into the office, I get breakfast. I eat my breakfast. I have it with me. I get coffee and I sit at my desk. And while I'm eating my breakfast, I pull out my phone. And I go to my Bible app on my phone, and I hit whatever passage I want to look at, and I hit play, because it will read it to you. And I have found that if I listen and read with my own eyes, I retain more of it because I'm using two senses, not just one. Now, some of you may not be like, well, I can't do that. Like, I do this job, and I can't do that. That's okay, because your phone will attack most of you. It will Bluetooth to your car, and you can hit play as you ride to work or you ride to school. And you'd be surprised at how much of the Bible you can listen to between your house and your job or your house and school. You'd be surprised. You can get through an entire chapter of the Bible on your way to school or on your way to work, almost, give or take, depending on your drive. For some of you, if you drive a whole lot further, you might get through a good bit. You say, well, if I just listen to it, my mind wanders. Okay. Well, I'm not a morning person. Okay. I'm not a night person. Okay. My point is, carve out time to consistently read your Bible. I want to read you one verse about reading your Bible. It's a familiar passage. It's a well-known passage. But we're going to read it this morning because I want to highlight just a couple pieces of it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. He's about to tell you the purpose for doing all this. That the man of God, the woman of God, the person of God may be what? Complete, equipped for every good work. In other words, your Bible, whether you have a hard copy that you read out of, whether you have a tablet you read it on, whether you have a phone that you read it on, it is breathed out, exhaled by God. In other words, just as God breathed life into Adam and Eve, so God breathed life into His Word, and He did that, why? So that you and I would be complete. In other words, what's the positive side of it? Is if I read my Bible consistently and constantly, I will look more like Jesus. What's the negative side? If I don't, I will not be as complete as I could be. Right? So read your Bible. Second thing, or the second half of that equation of our first core value, of our first game plan, is praying. Is praying. Praying is simply communication with the Lord. That's it. It is talking to God. Now look, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we had a couple people in my home church in Warner Robins. Man, I always loved it when the pastor called on them to pray. Because, man, they were good prayers. One guy, he wasn't a member of our church, but every now and then he would come and visit. And he, like, if God had a voice, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you read those passages in the Bible, it said, and God spoke audibly and, like, everybody heard it. Like, when I was a kid, it was that guy's voice. I mean, he just had this deep, bellowing, like, just voice. I was like, oh, man. So the problem with that is, when I got a little bit older in my, you know, in middle school and stuff like that, and my youth pastor and my parents and my grandparents talked about praying, I was like, I can't do all that. Like, you know, I'm struggling to put sentences together in there. But the older I've gotten, what I've realized is praying is simply talking to God. That's all it is. It is communicating with the Lord. There's no special words. There's no special formula. There's not a magic bullet that if you say this thing or that thing, then this thing or that thing must happen or will go on. It's simply talking with the Lord. So whatever's on your mind, He already knows what's going on. You're just communicating your heart and your mind with Him so that you and Him can get on the same page. Read you one other verse and then we'll move on. Acts 2:42. This is right after Peter has preached the Pentecost sermon earlier in the chapter. And it says, and they, that's the disciples, those there, those 3,000, those people who came to Christ, or however many thousands it was, came to Christ as a result of Peter's preaching. And that group, they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching, i.e. scriptures, and the fellowship with one another, to breaking of bread and prayers. Two of the earliest actions of the earliest followers of Jesus were reading scriptures and praying. And my friends, those are two things that we have to do if we want to win. Now here's the second thing. So that was core value number one, Bible study and prayer. You say, well, why isn't it two different ones? Because both of those need to be at the top. Right? And I'll just say this, and this is, we'll eventually talk about this a little bit later, but like, if you don't get this one down, let me just tell you, you and I and we will have a hard time doing any of the rest. Right? I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have a hard time being in a small group. Because what do you do in a small group? I hope you're praying and reading the Bible, amongst other things. You're going to have a hard time giving, because why do I need to give? It's mine. You're going to have a hard time serving somebody, because you're going to ask the question, why ain't people serving me? And you're going to have a hard time engaging people, because why ain't you talking to them? If you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you're going to have a hard time doing the rest of things. All right, so let's continue. Number two, part of our game plan, small groups. Now, let me explain what small groups are. Small groups are any smaller group than what meets in this setting on Sunday mornings, all right? Usually defined by life stage or age, usually is the key word there, life stage or age, that meet for some specific purposes that we can't do in a Sunday morning corporate worship gathering. I thought about it this way. Let me explain it to you this way. It's like your, not like going on a diet, like where you cut out certain things, but it's like how the people in the government say you need to have these specific things in your diet overall. You know, you got a little food pyramid thing or whatever. You're supposed to have this many servings of this and this many servings of that and this many servings of that green stuff that nobody likes to eat. And then you can have this much and that much. You know, like what you need to eat to maintain a healthy life, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Think of small groups and corporate worship as different parts of your diet, your spiritual diet. Because in your life with Christ, you can't get everything you need by just being in here on Sunday mornings. Because there's certain things we just can't do or isn't feasible in this setting or as feasible in a setting like this. Right? For me, Sunday morning corporate worship is like eating bread and desserts. Right? It's carbs. Man, it fuels you up. It's like ice cream at the end of a good meal. But you know what? As much as I love ice cream and bread, man, we went to Longhorns this past week, right the Tuesday night, I think, the day before school starts. And we were all we were all getting hangry. Y'all know what I mean? You're angry and you're hungry, and so you're hangry. And we was all there. And that lady whipped out that bread, that loaf of bread. I mean, and we were like devoured that thing. And it was so good. Oh, it was so good. It was wonderful. And so we were like, hey, can we get another? And we just like, whoa, right? It was great. But you and I both know, I can't eat bread and only eat bread. And neither can you. Because you're going to miss out on some certain key ingredients to live a healthy life. Right? You need meat and vegetables. And to me, that's what small groups are. Small groups are like the meat and vegetables of your life. It's where you get to do things like share life. It's where you get to do things like share faith. It's where you get to pray for each other. It's where you get to console and help one another and lift each other up. And when somebody's down, the whole group, the small group, can lift that person up. And when somebody's happy, they can celebrate together. That's what small groups are all about. We call small groups Sunday school classes. Other places call them a variety of different things. The name doesn't matter. The concept is that you're sharing life with a smaller group of people, intimately sharing life with a smaller group of people, and you can get into each other's lives and help each other grow closer to Jesus. That's why small groups are hugely important. And if you're not involved in a small group regularly, let me encourage you to be, because it is a valuable part of our lives, our spiritual diet, so to speak, as followers of Jesus. Holly shared a post on Facebook this week that I thought was absolutely phenomenal. Really quickly, the story is this person planted a lemon tree in their yard, and for a decade, the lemon tree didn't produce any lemons. And it was a big lemon tree. And the person tried to do everything they could to get this lemon tree to produce lemons. And on a whim, not thinking anything about it, they planted an orange tree. And the orange tree is tiny. I mean, tiny. And all of a sudden, the next spring, winter, whenever, the lemon tree is covered with lemons. I mean, covered with lemons. Lo and behold, the person who planted the lemon tree didn't know that the lemon tree needed the orange tree because they needed to cross-pollinate. And see, friends, look at me. When you're not in a small group, you're missing the quality cross-pollination of somebody else in your life, and they're missing it from you in their lives. Where none of us are called to be lone rangers, none of us are called to be just out there doing life on our own. We are called to do group. We are called to do the Christian life in a group of people. And I'm going to encourage you to be in a small group. Here's the third thing. So we got two, Bible study and prayer, small groups. Here's the third thing, is serving. Serving. Mark 10:45, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many." And in this verse, and in the way that Jesus lived His life, He epitomized that the life of following after Jesus is not a life of being served, but of serving other people. Right? So to put it more clearly, our core value is not just serving, but it's serving someone else. Galatians 2, other verse, Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Now, what do these two verses tell us? One, the first one tells us that God freed us from death, hell, and the grave to serve other people. In other words, God freed us from sin and a life far from Him so that we might then live in freedom to serve other people, not to have people serve us. So one, part of your redemption is so that you can then serve other people. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that the gifts that God gives us, each has received a gift. All of us have different talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. Those gifts are not just for your profit or for your benefit or for your fame and fortune, but they are, God gave them to you to use to serve one another. So God freed you from death and the grave. Why? One of the reasons is to serve other people. And then God gave you specific gifts. Why? To serve other people. So in some sense, it is in our spiritual DNA to be people who serve others. Now, our fourth core value is closely related to serving, which is giving. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on giving today because we're going to talk about it in depth next week. But I will say simply that as a natural outflow of our relationship with Christ, who graciously gave to us, we should be generous and gracious givers in our lives as well. All right, so we got four. We've got Bible study and prayer. We've got being in a small group. We've got serving someone other than ourselves. We've got giving generously. And so here's number five, engaging people. Now look, as I wrote that this week in my notes, I couldn't help but, if the last 2 years have shown us anything, they have shown us that we as people can be ugly, mean, hateful, joyful, and fickle. And if the and some of us just tired of people. Come, it's okay. Like we just tired of people. Like, I just don't want to deal with people. Life would be great without people. You've heard that statement before, right? Not true. It's a total farce. But, and this is a big but, if the last 2 years has shown us anything else, it has shown us that people are searching and seeking for things, and I would say for someone, and I would say more specifically, people are searching for truth. And my friends, nobody else on the planet has the truth that the church has. Listen, the government can't help people like the church can. Because we've got the answer to life's most pressing question, which is what happens after I die. And we've got the answer to the question of how do I get out of the mess that I've made of my life? And we have the answer, which is Jesus Christ, to those questions and to any other question about life and faith and all of that. Right? And so we are called to go out and to engage other people, to share Christ-like love and truth with other people. Last week, we quoted the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28:18-20. And the first kind of phrase in there, it says, all authority and power has been given unto me. And then Jesus says, go, right? Well, a more accurate way to translate that word go is as you are going. The meaning or the understanding that Jesus is trying to communicate in there is it's not a question of if you're going or you're not going. You're already going to be going. The idea is that as you're going along the way, you need to be making disciples, baptizing and teaching them. Right? So the question is not, should I go or should I not go? But the question is, as I'm going, I should be sharing the love of Christ everywhere I go. and engaging people no matter where I am. All right. So those are our five core values. Now, we're not done yet. We've got a couple other things to do in the remaining couple minutes we have. All right. So core values, five of them. Bible study and prayer. Small groups, serving someone other than ourselves. Giving generously, engaging people. Now, you got a couple questions. There are a couple questions that I know you may have or you may have at some point down the road. So I want to try to get them today just so we're all on the same page as we go forward, because this is the game plan. You say, how am I going to grow closer to Jesus in 2022? I'm going to grow closer by doing these five things. Well, how am I going to help other people move closer to Christ? How am I going to put my arm around somebody? These five things, right? Now, a couple things really quick. Why these core values? Now, you may have a question of why these five and why not some others? Like, why did we come up with these five things and not choose, why didn't we replace one with the other? Here, a couple, really quickly, I answer that really simply by saying, or by giving you two ideas. Number one, the earliest followers of Jesus. So if you go back and you read the New Testament, specifically, but some of these ideas and principles even occur in the Old Testament. You will see that the earliest followers of Jesus did these five things. These five things. They read their Bible and they prayed. They met in small groups. They served one another. They gave generously. And they engaged people. Now, those five words are not going to appear collectively in one verse in the Bible, okay? But if you read Acts and you read the letters that Paul and others write, you will see that those five ideas are five ideas that are promulgated throughout the entire New Testament as what followers of Jesus ought to do. Plus, these five actions are emulated by Jesus and therefore a part of what I would call our spiritual DNA. I mentioned that kind of idea a minute ago. Spiritual DNA. In other words, when Christ resurrects you from death to life, when He takes away all of your bad and puts in you all of His good, it's in some way like a spiritual DNA change. And these five things are part of your spiritual DNA. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to have a hard time not doing these five things. And therefore, our goal is to just let them come out. I saw this amazing video this week. It was like 5 seconds long. And it was of these English pointer puppies. English pointer is a type of dog that's used in bird hunting. And there's like five puppies and then the mom. And they're still with the mom. I mean, they're little. I mean, just, you know, like this size. They're tiny. And this guy, you don't even see the person in the picture. The video is just of these puppies. And the mom comes in right at the end. 5 seconds long tops. And the person who's, you know, who owns the dogs or whatever, has a stick with a string and a feather on the end of that stick. And all you see is the feather quit. I mean, you barely even see the feather. You see it whip across this little area. And all of those puppies, I mean, they're weeks old. Weeks. And he moves that and they're froze, pointing at the feather. And then you see the mom's head come in and she's doing the same thing. You say, well, why don't my dog do that? Why didn't my puppy do that? Because it is in their DNA, those pointers to point. Over thousands of years, it is in their DNA. It is instinctual. They've not been taught that. They pointed. And in the same way, these five things, the reason they're our core values, is the reason it's our game plan of how we're going to win this year. It's because it's in our spiritual DNA. And all I'm asking is just to let it come out. Right? So, all right, second question. Why do we need, why these core values? And then lastly, why do we need core values at all? Why do we need a game plan? Why can't this win just be enough? Well, Our win, as we said, it doesn't tell us what it takes to win. We've explained that today by the core values. Here's the other thing. It gives us definitive action steps. Why do you need core values? Why do you need a game plan? Because it gives you definitive action steps. Because listen to me, if we would have just moved on from last week, you would have gone home and you thought, hey, that's a pretty good idea. I hope that's what you thought. You may not have, but you know, at some point you thought, that's a pretty good idea. And then you know what you'd have done with it? You'd have taken it, like all of those knickknacks in your house that you have, come on, and you just set it on the shelf, and they'd been like, oh, that's cute, and you'd have never done anything with it, right? I've got knickknacks in my office. I looked at them this week. I should have brought some down here. They're cool, but you can't do nothing with them. Like, you can't play with them. You can't do anything with them. They're not toys. You say, oh, it's decor. Okay. But it's just there. It's cute, maybe. I got a bunch of deer and ducks. I've got an elk, a beautiful elk statue, little thing in my office. It's about this big. I've had that thing for years. I bought it when we went to Oregon, like 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago. And I looked at it this week, I got it down, and you know what it had on it? A ton of dust. Because I just set it up there. You don't do anything with it. You just set it up there. And if we don't have action steps, we are people of the path of least resistance. And we just won't do nothing. We'll just say, hey, that's great. And I'll go back and all my little sermon planning calendar, I'll check off that we talked about our win and we'll all feel good about ourselves, but we'll never do anything. That's why we got to have action steps. And these are action steps. That's why you need core values. That's why you need a game plan. But here's the last thing. It also gives you and me and us a metric of evaluation. And here's how we're going to roll into our application. So your homework for this week is, how am I doing in these five areas? How am I doing? So as of today, would you give yourself a passing grade on these individual areas? Would you give yourself a passing grade on serving others? Or you've been kind of stingy lately. And if you have, don't feel bad. You need to change. But we all go through seasons of our life where we're like on our A game on certain of these five areas of our game plan, our core values, and there's seasons of life where we're miserably failing at others. The point is to consistently be moving forward in each and every area, having a passing grade, following reading your Bible and consistently, praying consistently, serving others when you have an opportunity, giving generously, and engaging people. But let's be real. There's going to be times where we don't pass. That's okay. We just need to know it and change. And so your homework for this week is, what grade would you give yourself on these five areas? Because this is what it's going to take for whoever tomorrow night in the Alabama-Georgia game, whoever controls the line of scrimmage, whoever runs the ball effectively, whoever catches passes, and whoever doesn't lose the turnover battle, that's who's going to win the game. Control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, catch passes, don't do anything stupid. Whoever does that the best will win tomorrow night. I'm going to take that. I don't know who it's going to be, but that's what it's going to take to win. And in the same way, we've got to do these five things this year, this week, if we want to win. And I have courage, I am encouraged because I know that you can do it. I know that you can do it because it's already inside of you. All I'm asking you to do is just do it this week and the next week and next month and in 6 months and throughout the year. Because this is our game plan of how we are going to win this year. All right? Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you sent Jesus to rescue us from death, hell, and the grave. That you sent him to die on the cross and rise again so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you that you sent him to not only stay in the tomb, but to rise up out of the tomb. And Lord, that you sent your Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended back to heaven so that we might be filled with you each and every day. So that whenever we walk out into the world, whether at home or at school or at work or anywhere in between, Lord, that people might see Jesus in us. Lord, I do pray that we would move closer to you this year. I do pray that we would win. Lord, I pray that we would be consistent in Bible reading and prayer. That we would be consistently involved in a small group. That we would consistently and constantly serve someone other than ourselves. Lord, that we would be generous givers this year. And that we would engage people. Lord, that's what it's going to take for us to win. Lord, I have confidence that we can do that. So, Lord, help us to do it this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.